a dangerous thing to say for preachers, I understand. Psalm 34, once you get there, guys, if you'll stand with me as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We're just going to read one verse and have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our message here this evening. I'm with Brother Preston. The words in my Bible, they're getting smaller. I think they're getting smaller when they come into the church, and so I'm starting to print them out like Pastor Ellis used to do. He goes, I cheated. I got all mine on the paper now, so with a bigger font. So Psalm 34, verse 14, the Bible says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing. We thank you for the honor. We thank you for the ability to be here tonight. Let us never take it for granted. Lord, we ask of you tonight to please that if you will answer the prayers from earlier. Lord, as the petition came before you, Lord, clear our hearts tonight of anything and everything, Father, that would draw us away from you, dear God. Lord, as a message I saw earlier, that anything that comes into our life that draws us away from God, that draws us away from church, it draws us away from your will, is not a blessing and is not of God. So I ask you tonight, Father, help us get our priorities of our heart in order and let us look toward the heavens, Father. Help us look for that blessed hope in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. So I want to speak to you tonight on the topic of seeking peace. Seeking peace. And so I want to be, let's just be honest tonight with one another. If we were, I believe everyone in here this evening, we want peace in our life. And I realize, and I know that you do as well because you're surrounded by them, there's always going to be that one person who is critical, that's negative, that they're always going to be around you. They're going to be within the mix. We were Denise and I were talking about, she gave me a sermon title, to be honest with you, a sermon theme in the car, just a bit of our chats the other day as we're just sharing spiritual things with spiritual things and just sharing ministerial things and just chatting. And the Lord gave me a bit of an idea about characters in the crowd. But there's always, within that crowd, you're always going to have that negative, critical person. There's always going to be at least one, okay? There's always going to be that one person within the group who's going to find something wrong, something negative, or disapprove in everything that anyone has done or is doing. That's just a fact of life, guys. You know, I used to think when I was younger, that old people were just mean and nasty. Because I grew up in an area filled with retirees, you know. And for whatever reason, at 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to go to school, why they're going for breakfast at that time, at 30 miles an hour and a 60, I had no idea. But I figured it was just to get in front of me so that they would make me late to school. I couldn't understand it. I've always been impatient in the car. And the Lord's working on me in the past couple of weeks. Been great. But nonetheless, saying all that to say this, I honestly thought that people, when they got old, they got nasty, they got negative, they got critical, they got rude. And as the years moved on, as I began to mature and gain a little more insight, a little more wisdom and this and that, I found out that's just not true. Old people are not negative, critical, nasty, okay? They were once young people who were negative, critical, and nasty and had no peace in their life and didn't want anybody else to have peace in their life. All they did was get old and gray, amen. They're just old now. They've always been nasty. They've always been critical. They've always been selfish. They've always been haughty. It's just their character, do you understand? So nevertheless, most people want peace in their home, in their church, in their business, in their community. Because the opposite of that is chaos. And chaos is just that. It's chaotic. It's uncomfortable and it's painful. Let's be honest, chaos is tiresome. It wears you down to the bone. But beloved, if we want peace in our life, if you want peace in your life, you're going to have to go get it. Beloved, we live in a society, greatly in a society, that is an entitled society. They think everybody owes them something. And I'm going to get deeper into this in a little while, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. You ain't owed anything. Your neighbor doesn't owe you anything. Amen? If you want something in this world today, and that includes seeking peace tonight, you're going to have to go get it, amen, and not sit around and expect someone to give it to you. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this on the forefront. I'm probably getting way out of order here tonight. But peace in your life is not determined about what someone else is doing to you or for you or not doing to you or for you. You are the one that controls peace in your life. The last two words of our text tonight in Psalm 34, verse 14, says, pursue it. That word pursue means to pursue, means to put to flight. It means to chase. It means to dog, okay? You ever heard that phrase, dog it? That means get after it, amen? You know, it means to attend closely upon. Guys, another word associated with pursue is harass. You should go after it. We used to say in business, being politely persistent. Just be polite, but be persistent. Guys, in other words, you need to get after like a dog does a bone, if you want it. Yeah, it's going to take work. And that's probably why most people have the lack of peace in their life, is because it's going to take labor on your part if you want it. You're not owed it. It's not yours just by your birthright. Think about how we are in life. I want you to think about this like a business that you may have started. Guys, if this business that you have started is going to be worth anything, you know what you're going to have to do every single day? You're going to have to beat the streets. If you're going to want clients or customers, you're going to have to get out there and you're going to have to get them. You can't just hang a shingle out and say, hey, here I am, I'm open. It doesn't work like that. The only easy day in the business, guys, is yesterday. That's it. It requires work, great labor, and it requires pain to pursue a successful business. What about an education? We talk about David and how covered up he is in school and work right now and preparing his wedding in September and all this and that. Because I want you to imagine someone who wanted to be a physician, who wants to be a physician. Imagine this desire. The end goal is becoming a physician to practice medicine, right? Well, that individual, they have to complete school. They have to get accepted into university. They have to complete university. They have to graduate with a bachelor's degree, and it has to be at a certain level. They got to take an entrance exam. In the States, it's called the MCATs. I don't know what it is here, if they even have one, but nonetheless, I mean, they have to take that. You got to pass that with a certain number. Then you got to get accepted into medical school. When you get into medical school, now you got to complete medical school. Once you complete medical school, you have to serve a residency. You have to complete the residency, and you have to complete it with a high score. And then after all of that is done and dusted, after 12 years have gone by of labor, then you got to sit for a final test. You got to sit for an exam, your board's exam, to become board certified, and then you can practice medicine. During the entire process, the hours are long, the labor is extensive, the days are short, and the end goal is practicing medicine. But it's not going to happen without getting after it again like a dog with a bone, put to flight to pursue the goal. The guys, people do this every day. And each and every day, men and women will arise from sleep. They will prepare for the day. They will chase their goals that they have set before them. They will work tiresomely to reach those goals. For some people, their goal may be to lose X amount of kilos. If you're going to lose X amount of kilos, guys, in order for this to happen, you're going to have a change of lifestyle. A change of lifestyle must occur. Sugar has to be removed. And a regimented intake of meals must be applied. There are no shortcuts for success. You either want to lose the weight or you do not. And you may say, I want the weight off, but that's different than wanting to lose the weight. Everybody wants the weight off. But if you want to lose the weight, it's going to take a process. You need to be willing to trust the process and pursue it. Otherwise, you're just playing games. Maybe tonight some people have the goals of having X amount of pounds in their bank account or in their savings, which is a good goal. Now, what's going to have to happen? Number one, a change of budget must occur. One of two things need to follow. Either you need to make more money and take that excess money and save it and put it into a savings account, or you're going to have to take the money you're making now and decrease the expenditures and put the excess away. One of the two things. It's that simple tonight. If you want to put money in a savings account, you're either going to have to spend less or you're going to have to make more. One of the two, but the excess of either are going to have to be put into the savings account. You must be willing to trust the process. You must be willing to pursue it, to put the flight, to chase it, to go and get it, if you will, like a dog with a bone. Otherwise, you can just hold both hands out, spit in one of them, and leave the other one like this, see which one fills up the fastest. You understand? Guys, I'm telling you, either playing games or you mean business. One more analogy I'll give you and we'll move on. Maybe your goal is to stop being negative. Maybe your New Year's goal was to stop being so critical and have a better attitude. Well, here's the deep science for you tonight. You need to stop being so negative and critical and just have a better attitude. It's that simple. It is that easy tonight. Yeah, it's that simple. Stop being a nuisance to other people. Every time things turn around, start being positive. And guess what? Pursue a better attitude if you want one. Amen. If you don't want one, stay the same. If you don't want less weight on you, stay the same. If you don't want more money in the bank, stay the same. If you don't want to change a negative attitude, just stay the same. Amen. But don't say you want it when your actions speak a different tune. Does that make sense tonight? So back in Psalm 34:14, believe it or not, we got a little formula here for peace in our life. I believe it's a simple verse, isn't it? One verse we're looking at. But in all the in every one of these formulas that we find here, all of it requires actions on our part. Things that we must do if we want peace in our life. It requires things that we need to do rather than just sitting around waiting for it to appear. What it means, guys, is that if we want it, we're going to have to pursue it. We're going to have to harass it. We're going to have to dog it. We're going to have to go get it. It means that we must get off our backside and go get it on if you want peace in your life. One of the reasons so many people are without peace in their life today is this very reason. They're simply not pursuing it. People, again, I mentioned this already, but people think that the world owes them. We have a society today that seems to think that it's the government's job to take care of them. Well, it isn't. The government does not make money. The government redistributes money. Meaning, for every pound that you take from the government, you're taking it from someone who has earned it and has worked for it, amen. You don't deserve it when someone else has worked for it. That's just the way it is. If you don't like that, I really don't care, because that's the truth tonight. If you haven't earned it, you don't deserve it. But God will provide, warning. So we're talking about the providence of God. See, really and truly, I know we're talking, the title of this message is Seeking Peace, and that's the end goal this evening. And God has given us a beautiful formula here of how we're going to have peace in our life. But at the same time, God provides the peace. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is providing the peace. But we need to see the formula he's given for us to obtain it. So God will provide. And we must trust his promises and his provisions to do so. But this doesn't include us being lazy. This doesn't include us sitting around on our ever-widening horizons and waiting for it to fall from the sky. Let me give you an example here. Now, Matthew 6:26 says this. Great verse. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of us have seen adult birds sitting on a tree limb or on a power line with their mouth open to the heavens, waiting for God to throw them some food? Never seen that, have you? You got birds, you're a bird man, right? Never seen the bird just, come on, I'm waiting for it. The Bible says that God provides for them, doesn't he? Okay? You've never seen that. For that matter, you've never seen any animal in the animal kingdom just sit around and go, you said you're going to provide. Even though the Lord provides the food for the birds and the bees and the lions and the bears and the tigers and all of those things, they still have to go get it. Do you understand? And that's what we need to understand in our life. If we want peace in our life, if you want peace in your days, in your business, in your home, in your church, in your work, in your car, if you want peace there, you're going to have to go get it. God's already provided it. You need to understand that. But you're going to have to do some things to get it in your life. One of the first things you're going to have to do, if you're going to obtain peace in your life, if you're going to seek peace tonight, if you want peace in your life, it's going to require changes in your life. You're going to have to go get it. Guys, if you want a better attitude, if you want a better bodily appearance, your health, your sleep, a better perspective on life, you will have to get up and go get it. It's your responsibility to get after it. God has already promised it. God has already provided it. His peace is there as well. But there's some things that you need to do in order to have it. The first thing that we see is that we're going to need to depart. Verse 14 in our text says, depart from evil. That's point number one. That's our first step. That's our first stage. That's the first thing that we need to understand. And to most, this seems quite simple. But let me ask you a question tonight. When you think of departing from evil, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Evil is defined as in 2 Timothy 4:18, as full of labors, annoyances, hardships, bringing toils, perils of a time full of peril to Christian faith and steadfastness, causing pain and trouble. That's the word utilized there in 2 Timothy 4:18. But from James chapter 3, which I think you'll see a little bit of a link, it's defined as easy, slight, ordinary, mean, worthless, of no account, ethically bad, wicked, or base. So I want to put in context from the screen tonight, John 3, and look first with me in John 3:13. We're talking about departing from evil. Now, in my mind tonight, I'm going to assume this evening, having known much of our circle, when we read Proverbs chapter 34, 14, that says depart from evil, there's probably some things that are in your mind, and probably should be. But verse 13 tells us, who is a wise man that endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, beloved, wisdom is seen most often as opposed to being hurt. People say, well, those are some wise words, and that may be true. But I'll tell you right now, wise words without a wise walk is nothing but wasted walk. Wise words without wise works is nothing but a wasted walk. Now, in verse 14, this is what we see. But if we have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion, watch this, and every evil work. Now, the Bible tells us to depart from evil. So let's narrow down the departing from evil tonight. Bitterness, envy, strife. Oh, by the way, where are those things supposed to be departed from? In your heart. You can fake it and shake it and bake it all you want, but if it's down inside your heart, you're not going to have peace in your life. Now, when we say depart from evil, 9 times out of 10, what you're going to have many in most independent fundamental Baptist churches today is the first thing they're thinking of is that they're going to think of what tie they're going to wear, where to part their hair, what shoes they should wear, what dress to wear. That's what they're thinking about, departing from evil. Because we have conditioned our young people today to thinking that righteousness is found in apparel. Now, mind you, I understand modesty should always apply. I get that. But I'm telling you right now, if we continue with a tick list of what to follow to make you righteous, we're not given a Lord to follow, but more of a list, if you will. So we find that bitterness, envy, and strife in the hearts, lying against the truth. What is the truth? John 14:6 tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. That's Jesus Christ. Envy and strife equal confusion. When confusion is present, Every evil work is part of our life. You understand? Not just a few. Every evil work. There cannot be peace in a heart and a life filled with confusion. That's chaos. 1 Corinthians chapter 14:33 says, For God is not the author of confusion. What are those next three words? But of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. So, beloved, departing from evil has nothing to do with the tie you wear or the dress you wear. It's got nothing to do with it. It's a matter of the heart, and it's a matter of actions. It's a matter of pursuing peace by removing strife, okay? By removing confusions, by removing bitterness. What does the Bible say? Cast out the scorner and the strife will follow. Several years back, we had to do that, did we not? And there was a cloud of peace that came inside this building, came inside this church, because the scorner had been removed. Again, go back to the book. If you trust the book, it may be uncomfortable. Trust the book, amen. So it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our actions. It's a matter of pursuing peace by removing strife, removing confusion, removing bitterness, removing lying, because God is the author of peace in our life, not confusion. And too many of us have given a list to follow in our life with men and women before us, concocted themselves, deciding that it is the end-all formula to godliness, which has done nothing but cause confusion and bitterness amongst our people. We'll read on and notice how this is concluded in James chapter 3, verses 17 and onward. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. That's an awful lot of conversation about peace there, isn't it? Tied and linked to what we're discussing tonight. So guys, if you want peace in your life, the first step is to depart from evil. What is that evil? That evil is going to be strife. It's going to be bitterness. It's going to be lying to the truth. That's what it's going to be, confusion, if you will. And there it is, guys, directly associated with peace tonight in that removal. Think about it like this, guys. You know, the Lord doesn't have to bring wrath or judgment into your life. He doesn't have to do that. You know, all he has to do is stop blessing you for 1 second, and you'll feel the whole weight of this world. Secondly, tonight we see in our text this evening, after we depart from evil, the Bible says do good. So one is to stop doing something. Another one is to start doing something, to do good. Do something. Just because, guys, good works won't save you doesn't mean they shouldn't be done in our life. This is what Jesus did on the cross when he saved men and women, by dying on the cross and being buried in the grave and risen again. That's how we're saved. His work is completed there. But doing good was a pattern that he set for us all to follow. We've read the verse this year multiple times. Acts 10:38 says, who went, speaking of Jesus Christ, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Doing good. He did good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we were his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained we should walk in. The reality of the matter is that we cannot truly do good without departing from evil. Sure, evil organizations do good works all the time. It doesn't make them godly. But as a Christian in pursuing peace in our life, our good works are for naught if we haven't departed from evil. So once we depart from evil, we come back and we are to do good. We are to have actions in our life, beloved. Actions. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. He says, ye are the light of the world, and a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You want peace in your life? Well, depart from evil. Let your light shine in a darkened world. Do good. Lastly tonight, after departing from evil and doing good, still, if you want peace in your life, there's something else you're going to have to do. You're going to have to be diligent. The next statement says, seek peace. Seek peace. My friend, you can't find what you aren't looking for. If your eyes are closed and your head is in the sand, don't expect to find peace in your life. You must get up and seek it, to be diligent about finding it. The word seek here in Psalm 34 comes from the Hebrew word bakash, which means to search out. A secondary meaning of that means to strive after. Again, I talked about businesses earlier. I talked about things that people do in order to reach their goals. And people will work with blood, sweat, and toil in their life to reach those goals, to achieve those goals, to build that business, to obtain that education. And guys, if you want peace in your life, you're going to have to do the same thing. It's not going to just drop on your table. You're not owed peace in this life. This is a broken, sick, sin-filled world, and we today are living in it as foreigners. We are citizens of another land. We are citizens of a heavenly nation, amen, in the heavens tonight. So you're not going to get peace because you're owed it tonight. And we need to break that cycle of raising our young people thinking that the world owes them something. If you want something in this life, you're going to have to go after it, and you're going to have to achieve it, and you shouldn't depend on somebody else to provide it for you. Peace, guys. It's going to require labor. It's going to require action. And too many think they can sit around and avoid all the issues of life, to avoid all the issues, and peace will be in their life. Well, I just stay out of this situation. I stay out of that situation. I just want peace in my life. My friend, silence and a sedentary living is not peace. That's just ducking undercover waiting to die. It sure isn't peace. True peace comes from above, guys. It comes from pursuing it. Departing from evil, doing good, remaining diligent and seeking peace and pursuing it like your daylight is about to run out. Because in reality, it is. We're not promised tomorrow, guys, but we are promised peace if we're willing to pursue it. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, for who and what you are. And I pray now that you please give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Take this message and write it upon our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be diligent about seeking peace in our life and understanding that we need to depart from evil and do some good, but be diligent, Father, in going after the peace that you have provided. We love you. We ask you to bless us, Lord, as we close the midweek service. We pray you give us safe traveling mercies on the way home this evening and bring us back at the next appointed time. Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, should you send the Son tonight to take us home, we pray this evening before that final trump sounds that these souls that we have witnessed to, that we, dear God, have shared the gospel with, would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and would be with us for all eternity. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. And amen.